Good to see everybody out at the house of the Lord this morning. Good to follow life for Brother Cheney.
Yeah.
Friend and neighbor.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
I was a little disappointed in him, though he didn't bring me any peanut brittle.
That is true.
He usually brings me peanut brittle when he comes around where we're at. But I'm not that disappointed, brother. Amen. But I thought that's good preaching. I was proud of him this morning. And he's talking about God's willing to heal you. And I don't understand healing. I got a friend that's dying right now unless God heals him in St. Louis, Missouri right now. He's just 51 years old. I believe 51. He got saved when he was just a boy. His daddy and his mother were backslidden. None of his brothers nor his sister were saved. And he got saved. And he got his mommy back, his daddy back in church, and all of his brothers and his sisters saved. Been the backbone of that church at Willow Springs. I pastored there for 4 years. And just one of the finest young men you'd want to know. Father, and just every way in the world, good to work with. And he's there, and I've been praying for him. I went to see him. You know, I've quoted scripture. I've done everything I know to do. And I haven't seen what I want to see. I felt like somehow, you know, I really have a lot of confidence in the Word of God. And I felt like somehow that God's word would reach him and heal him. Amen. And I haven't given up. He's still alive. But, you know, it looks bad. It looks bad. But at the same time, with this going on, when Brother Cheney was preaching, I heard Brother Lloyd preach up at that same church at Willow Springs. He knew Oney, Lee Owen. Amen. And he preached for my niece and her husband up there at Willow Springs. And in that preaching, he told about Kathy Mabes at Merlin Heights in Ohio, and how that the Lord touched her, and she'd stand up and testify, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm healed or not, but I haven't had any pain all in this service." Next night, "Pastor, I don't know if I'm healed or not, but I have been pain-free for 24 hours.
Right.
Pastor, I don't know if I'm healed or not, but I've been pain-free 48 hours. Amen. She had a steel rod up her back. She'd had a lot of back trouble. That's where her pain was coming from. And she just felt like maybe she'd try touching her toes. They told her she could never bend over. And she bent over and touched her toes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Amen. Was it later when you took that church that she got real bad and had to go back to the hospital? And they did checked her, tested her, did some kind of MRI, some kind of x-ray, and the steel rod wasn't even there. Now, can you explain that? But that is a notice to the devil. He's still healing. Amen. We can't explain everything. We can't explain why one dies and the other lives. We don't know that. We're not God. But we can pray with confidence. We can pray with confidence. Amen. Hallelujah. And I just, you know, if I heard one preacher say, "Now, it's your fault. If you don't get healed, you shouldn't believe." Well, I'd like for you to meet Kathy. Amen. Explain that to her. That'd really help her a lot, I think. One fellow told a friend of mine, he said that, and this other fellow walked up to him and said, "Well, according to the Bible, my faith is when I call for you to pray. Your part is when you pray the prayer of faith."
Yeah.
I don't know how that'd be. Anyway, thanks for everything, for the good food, and always... these ladies have been so nice. They fixed me a nice salad. And just everything has been so great for the offering. We want to thank you for that. And I hope the Lord will help me. I really need God's help today. And I know that I'll mess up somewhere along the way. I always do. If I hadn't been doing it for 63 years, I'd think it was old age. But after so long, you just can't use that crutch, you know, when you have to look back over your life. Like yesterday, listen, I don't expect you to agree with me on this, okay? I don't expect you to agree with me. But when I read there in John where it said, "Behold, the Lamb of God, take away sin of the world," that to me is the atonement. And the other is the Passover, "Behold, the Lamb of God." The atonement when I got saved, reconciled to God. The Passover is a sanctifying power of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, abstain from fornication, you know. Amen. Tells us to do certain things. Then he says, faithful is he that has called you who will also do it. I can trust the Lord to help me live right and live a sanctified life. Huh? Amen. So to me, I'm just telling you, when I looked at that and heard him say, "Behold, I am God, take away sin of the world." And the reason why I say that, I'm back on this again. I said it yesterday, sanctification. I meant Passover. It's a Passover because whenever they had that Passover, you know what God said to that? Tell Pharaoh, let my people go. I'm going to separate them from the Egyptians. Amen. And when those two disciples heard John say, "Behold the Lamb of God," that second time, they followed Jesus. They departed. They left him and followed Jesus. So I'm saying that, amen, why are you on that thing? Because I'm just a little against this Baptist doctrine. Amen. Is that all right with you? Amen. I'm just a little against that. And I remember the Bible told whenever they were having problems in Corinthian church, you know, and Paul warned them a little leaven, hold up. He said, Christ our Passover. Amen. He looked at him for that sanctifying power to cleanse them from the sin that was in that church. Now, that's not my message this morning. In fact, I don't know if he got one, but I'm just simply trying to correct what I messed up on yesterday. Amen. And tell you why I believe, what I believe. And I don't ask you to believe that. I don't ask you to believe that at all. But another thing I want to say, we preached on there in 2 Kings 3rd chapter where it said, is there not a prophet here? And I'm not really stressing prophets as a person. I'm dealing in my mind. I may not get across to you, but I'm dealing with the Word of God being so prophetic. And I'm looking at a time and I feel like, really, I'm going to make a statement, and I don't know if it's true, but if the Lord tarries, in the next 10 years, you'll know more about the book of Revelation than you've known all your life in studying all the books of all the masters. I really believe that you're going to see some of those scriptures that will be so alive, just like I told you about when Jesus drove them out, they remembered. When he come riding on the mule, they remembered. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So, you know, and I said yesterday also that Caiaphas prophesied, God honored his office. He didn't honor the man, but he honored the office. And when it comes to prophets, just personal prophets, they're varied. They have different personalities. You know, people like that. You know, I thought about, would I like to be a prophet? When I think that what it involves, I really don't want the job, huh? To be a prophet per se. I don't really want the job. Whenever Elisha came there and that King Jehoram, whenever he is griping about the Lord and bled him after killed him, you know what? You remember what Elisha told him? If you wasn't traveling in good company, I wouldn't have anything to do with you. You know what happens a lot of times when you do that? King just says, off with his head. You know what I mean? Amen. Yeah, that's what he told him. He said, I'm not here for you. I'm here for the company you're traveling with. You know, and just think about this. Here's something else, and I marked it, so I didn't use it yesterday, but I marked it, and I just want to give you something. You talk about some prophets are vindictive in their nature. You know what? Let me read you something. I know you know this, but you preachers do, but somebody may not. Amen. You remember when Jonah saw the city repent? And Nineveh, you know, found favor with God. And the Bible said it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. A mad prophet. And he prayed, Well, I thought, you don't ever get mad. Well, that's the reason why I don't want to be a prophet. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee, before unto Tarshish. The reason I went to Tarshish, for I knew thou art a gracious God, merciful, slow to anger, great kindness, and repentance. Repentance thee of evil. Therefore now, O Lord, take I thee, I beseech thee my life. I just kill me, Lord. Get rid of me. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever feel like, you know, they brag on, they said yesterday something about something. They said, ask Brother Charles. I thought, Lord, kill me before they find out how dumb I am. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, that's what I thought. And so here he's mad. If he thought, well, I'll just take a vacation. As the time will run out, they'll be killed. I'll come back home again. Hallelujah. But instead, he had to go and preach just like God told him to. Then he was off out there praying and saying, God, just kill me. I don't even want to see them being blessed. Amen? So that's a prophet. That's a prophet. And always do we understand prophecy. We know, you know, don't always get it. But we must realize that this, the Bible says we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And so it doesn't necessarily mean that, you know, you may be listening to a man preach that you really don't care much for. But if the Holy Ghost gets on him, and it may just be one sentence, but it'll be something that God's speaking to you about. That is what I'm trying to talk to you about, that spirit of prophecy. That spirit of prophecy that abides in the church. Amen? And I said again, sometimes we misunderstand prophecy. We don't understand the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen? That's right. I remember before I was 75, I had a dream. And I thought it meant that I was going to die when I was 75. You know. Well, I put that on tape at Shady Springs. Then I lived past 75 and had to go back by there. Hallelujah. So it wasn't right. But what did happen when I got 75, I had to build a house for my son to live in. And for the next 7 years, I had to take care of him. And it was downhill. It was almost to death itself. Amen. But I just misunderstood. Look at this. I don't ask you to turn to it, but it says Paul talking to those pastors in Ephesus, and I know they're called elders, but in the 28th verse, they're called pastors, they're called bishops, and they're called elders. So I still believe that pastor is the presiding elder. That's the dignity of his title. He's a bishop. That's the duty of his title. He's an overseer, and he's to feed the sheep. He's a pastor. That's the labor of the man. Amen? So if you don't believe that, that's all right, too. Because I'm not here to argue. Here, Paul speaking to those people said, now behold, I go bound in spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, said that bonds and affliction abide me. You know, and the Bible tells how they wept, fell on his neck, sighed, and they wouldn't see him anymore. But you're going down to Tyre, and he's down there at Tyre, and he's finding certain disciples there, and he said, we tarried there 7 days. Who said to Paul, through the Spirit, that he should not go up to Jerusalem. You see what I'm saying? Something told them what was waiting in him, but they misunderstood it. They misread it. They didn't get the message. They weren't in harmony with what Paul knew was coming on. And I don't see where Paul even rebuked them or anything. But they said through the Spirit. And I'm sure it was because of what they saw. I'm sure the Holy Ghost revealed that to them. And they said themselves, that means he shouldn't go. And so then the Bible said he went on, came to Caesarea to the house of Philip the evangelist, had four daughters, virgins, which did prophesy, tarried there many days. There come down from Judea a certain prophet named Agabus. And when Agabus come down, now remember, he's the one in the ninth chapter of the book of Acts that prophesied there'd be a dearth over all the world. And it came to pass. So he had a proven ministry, right, on prophecy. He comes in, and I don't know how you hang girdles up, men. That's deals you wrap around, you know, hold your loose clothing together. But I suppose maybe they hung them out kind of like you do when you come in, you wear a hat. I don't know. Amen. So he comes into church, and when he come into us, he took Paul's girdle, bound his own hands and feet, and said, "Thus saith the Holy Ghost, so shall the Jews at Jerusalem bind the man that owneth this girdle, and shall deliver him in the hands of the Gentiles." Yeah. Now notice the reaction. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him not to go up to Jerusalem. Paul didn't call them a bunch of false prophets. He knew that the human nature and factor had gotten in there, and so that human factor said, stay away from pain, stay away from this thing that's coming on you. But when he already had to witness, he didn't go around just getting mad at them, because he knew what he had to do. You see what I'm saying? But we must realize that if that happens with them, that will happen with us. That we can get mistaken. We can misunderstand the movement. You know, it's kind of like Brother L.D. Moore. Most people count him to be a prophet. I think he was. Amen. There's several men I believe are prophets. But anyway, L.D. Moore's prophet. I remember his son backslid, and I was talking to him. And I said, and I remembered one time he went into some house in Ohio. These folks had come to church, invited him home with them, and they went into that home, and he saw a boy's picture hanging on the wall, and he told them all about that boy. That was their son. I think it was backslidden at the time, and he just told him all about him. But yet here his own boy backslid, and he didn't notice it. He didn't see it. So I asked him, I said, Brother L.D., I said, how come the Lord told you about those people in Ohio, but didn't tell you about your own son? He said, Charles, the Lord tried to, but I thought I was having trouble with my mind. See what I'm saying? He didn't want to accept what he saw coming down the road. That's what I'm trying to say. Now, I know there's false prophets, and the reason why I'm taking time talking, I may not even get where I want to go. I may just talk here and go eat dinner. Amen. I may leave before you do. And so anyway, but I'm just talking about, I know there's a lot of false prophets. I understand that. I hate to even get into this stuff, because we do have it. I don't want you to just get the place where you just all of a sudden, everything you think, that's right. You know, that's God. You know, the Bible talks about people following their own spirit. And I know there's prophets that are really prophets of God. The Bible reads, if I read it right in the Bible, there's prophets that were bought off or influenced to where they would speak soft things. Amen. I know. But with all that, and I always get a little nervous about these kind of things. I've never dealt with this before, but I am nervous about it. But I think about my mother. Her husband's brother, her first husband died with pneumonia. His brother got saved, got the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but then he got to where everything he thought God was telling him that, you know. And he'd do such things like they started, that's back in the wagon days, you know. They started somewhere, and they got a little ways, and we called him, I'll not call his name, I know his children, what have you. But he said, we got to go home. The Lord just showed me our house is burned. Well, they turned around home. The house wasn't burned. You know what I mean? He was a preacher. But just get, you know, and a few things like that, and then you wonder why your children aren't saved. You know what I'm saying? We're not to follow on spirit, and we have to be very careful. And I think really the main thing about a prophet is that you don't know a prophet. I think that's the best thing in the world, just don't know it. That's my own conclusion of the matter. But anyway, just that way. And people come by and they say, yeah, thus saith the Lord. That doesn't mean it's God speaking. Several years ago, my wife's sister had lung cancer, lived out in Scott City, Kansas. And we'd gone out there seeing someone taking care of her children. Mary Beth was probably around 10 or 12 years old or something like that. Come back, we'd had a daddy in our service. We got a woman come. Amen. Said she's driving my hair, and the Lord spoke to her at 2 o'clock morning. Said, this is where I want you to go to church. This is where I want you to go to church. And so, sure enough, the next service night, there she was, her and her two boys. She's driving a Cadillac, you know, and they'd come down to Kansas City. Amen. Well, I looked her over, And I thought, yeah, and I'm honest now. I've never fixed a message up for nobody. I've talked to a time or two, and the Lord stopped me. Amen. But I thought it wouldn't hurt just put a little wholeness in that preaching that day. You know what I mean? Amen. And so in my preaching, I put a little wholeness in there. Just, you know, after all, if God speaks to you at 2 o'clock in the morning and tells you you're going to come to this church, that's where he wants you to come. Well, you ain't going to be run off by a little something you don't agree with, are you? Huh? Hallelujah. But she never came back. But I'll tell you what she did. She went up to my niece's husband's church. He'd been fasting and praying. They belonged to a Pentecostal denomination, and they had a lot of, you know, they believed a lot of tongues, interpretation, and stuff like that. He'd been fasting and praying, and brother, she fit like a glove up there. She was helping pray people through. That my son-in-law, his mother and stepfather went there, and that's where he was. That's where he went as a boy before he got married, and even after he got saved, he went there for quite a while. Amen. They had some good preachers. I had Brother Cecil Welch. Everyone had good preachers, but they, you know, they really wanted to be spiritual, and they were honest in it. But she fit like a glove. I mean, she was helping pray people through the Holy Ghost. She was humble. I mean, she, amen, if she's praying, she might just even get down and take a hold of her ankles and pray for them. You know what I mean? She was a real humble woman. Amen. And so, boy, she got in, got going good. Everybody got to liking her good. And one night she stood up and gave a prophecy. Yay, yay, thus saith the Lord. I want all the church to go over, and she called the name of the sister of the church that's there. And they were kind of, you know, wanting a little a supremacy. Amen. Yeah, that's the Lord. I want all the church. I want all you folks to go over to this folks' house on a Wednesday night. Now, that was their prayer meeting out there at the church. I want you all to go to this folks' church on Wednesday night and have prayer. And she paused and she said, yay, yay, thus saith the Lord. I don't think the pastor's going to like this. You know, I'm not talking about foolishness like that, but I'm simply saying, amen, that when you talk about prophecy, we start looking for something that's really extreme and something out there and something really, you know, catches our eye. But I think that a lot of it, when you see God moving and his word being manifested in prophecy, it'll come in such a soft way, amen, that it'll not be, amen, something just really bombastic or whatever you want to call it. Amen. I don't know what the word be for it. But it'd be kind of like this. Years ago, I came home from work, and my daughter, Mary Beth, was just a baby, probably 2 or 3 years old. I came home from work, and she had a earache, amen. And she's crying. She'd been crying all morning. My Marietta was just nearly beside herself, amen. She had that earache. And I picked her up. I sat down on the couch and called her to me, and I picked her up. She's crying the whole night here. I put her up against me, and I just prayed a simple prayer, and she just fell out of my arms asleep on the couch. No doodads, no nothing, just God moving. You see what I'm saying there? Amen. I'm not here to try to make you feel like that there's going to be some great explosion or cataclysmic event or something. I'm here to just say, be Christians and listen and watch the word of God. Amen. And let God speak to you through his word. Amen. Because God has a way of hiding things in his word until the time comes to reveal them. Amen? Praise the Lord. That's what I'm trying to say to you, and I'm hoping that I'm not just wearing you out with doing that, but I felt like the Lord's will to do that. Amen. There's something that I know that you know that's true, but I just want to tell to you about something, and perhaps I'll just keep your Bible if you want to. We'll just kind of go through the Bible here. Do you remember in the third chapter, Brother Cheney was there, and the third chapter of the book of Genesis, and the 15th verse, God is talking to the devil. God is talking to the devil, and he says, and I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, I want you to notice, between thy seed and her seed. Remember I told you yesterday about Simeon, amen, that got to read and saw how that was going to work. Well, anyway, do you remember in the book of Galatians, and I'll just read it to you. I'm going to read some of these scriptures twice, and the reason why I am, because I'm not organized, not because I'm anointed, but not organized. Okay? Amen. All right. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed. Now, as far as I can tell, I don't know that I'm right about this, but there must have been a word of mouth handed down about what God had said, amen, before Moses ever wrote it down. It was somewhere in the word, and somewhere when that happened, amen, Abraham must have connected with that fact, amen. Do you like Abraham? I like him, don't you? Amen. I like how the Lord spoke to him in the 12th chapter in the first verse. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, from thy father's house, unto a land that I will shew thee, and I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee, and I will make thy name great, and bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. Amen. I will make thee a great nation. The Jews rightfully claim that, and rightfully so. I believe that's all right. Amen. But then he said, I'll make thy name great. Pointed to a time when God would change his name from Abram, that is a high father, to Abraham, the father of a multitude. Amen. Many nations. So I like what Adam Clark said. It's worthy of remark that Abram is the first man to whom God is said to have shown himself or appeared to. Amen. In early the Chaldees, Acts 7:2, he talked about him, God appearing to him. And then again at the M-O-R-E-H, amen, that was called teacher. And so no doubt God came at that time and spoke to Abraham and gave him some information and consulted with him on the things that was to happen in the future. I don't know all about that, I'm just telling you. Amen. But I like this. Also, Adam Clark said, when God changed both Abram and Sarah's name, he inserted the same Hebrew letter into their names. That letter, the letter that he gave them, was from his name. The reason given for the change made in the patriarch's name is this: for a father of many nations have I made thee. And then he gives a Hebrew word, and it says, a father of a multitude of nations. And he gave him that letter, which Rabbi Solomon, I suppose his name would be called Yarchai, or it's spelled in my mind, Jarchai. Amen. Whoever is a rabbi, he defines the name cabalistically. In other words, he likes numbers, like Charles likes numbers. And he says that its numeral numbers amount to, that's Abraham, amounts to 248, which, says he, is the exact number of the bones in the human body. Now, I don't know if that's right or not. I don't know, I've never checked that out, but that's what the rabbi said. Now, that word that was inserted from God's name is what we would pronounce as he. You remember the Hebrew letters, in the Hebrew, the letters also have a numerical value. And so the letter was he, and I love this, amen. And that letter he stands for five. He was five short of perfection when he's Abram. He had perfection when he got that five. That's grace. Hallelujah. I like that. I don't know about you, but I really like that. Amen. Praise the Lord. Rabbi Lippmann says, he that he being added as a fourth letter signifies that the Messiah should come in the fourth millennium of the world. Well, they're thinking in now. I'm thinking of from the time God spoke in the garden till the time that Christ was born. 4,000 years later, I'm thinking that way. You know what I'm saying? But I'm just reading that to you to tell you about Abraham and how that God spoke to that man and dealt with him and met him. So I've got some scriptures that I want to use, and I hope that it won't wear you out. But I just want to go through, if I could, for a little while and talk to you about this man called Abraham. And in the 12th chapter, of course, he comes to him, and I've got it in my notes, but I'm so nervous I can't find them, so I'll just have to go to the Bible and look at them. I wish I could find them in my notes because it'd save a lot of time. But in the 12th chapter of the book of Genesis, amen, he said, and all the families of the earth will be blessed in thee. So on over, we go on over a little ways, and we find in the 15th chapter, God cuts a covenant with Abraham. You remember that? I love that, how God came to him and said, I'm thy shield, exceeding great reward. Amen. And he said, God, I don't have a child. And he said, you look at the stars of the sky, and if you can count them, I'll tell you how many children you're going to have. And the Bible said he believed in the Lord, and it was counted unto him for righteousness. Amen. He said, God, I can't believe it, but do believe it. Hallelujah. Remember, I told you about how they laughed one time. I think that's all over in 17th chapter, maybe, and I'm not sure. Amen. How he laughed, and whenever the Lord told him he's going to have a son. Amen. I told you one time that how I said that probably in today's vernacular, he would have said, cool, Lord, cool. That's cool. Hallelujah. You know what I'm saying? Amen. Abraham, God's speaking to him and telling him that's going to believe. Now, I just want to go on a little farther over this. Amen. Then we come to the 17th chapter, and when we come to that 17th chapter, and let me go back to that other one. I just love this. And I know I'm taking your time, but I don't mean to be mean about it, but I just love this. I love the fact, amen, that Abraham got those, you know, what was it, ox of 3 years, a ram of 3 years, and a goat of 3 years, and a pigeon and a turtle dove. That was his sacrifice. And he was to cut them all up and put them on the altar, you know, and he put them all up there. And see, Abraham just put them together, amen, you know what I'm saying? In the old days when they made a covenant, two men made a covenant, amen, why they would, you know, they'd pull them apart. And those men would get between those bloody sacrifices, and they'd make their covenant. But Abraham just put his all together. But, you know, he had to watch the fowls there, and then in the evening, that you know, it got dark, and that smoking furnace, you know. But then whenever he got a horror come up on him, all those things. But then right in the middle of that smoking furnace, the Bible said a burning lamp came down and passed between those. Amen. You remember in the book of Galatians, that's where I started to read there in the third chapter. Amen. Now, the mediator is not a mediator of one, but God is one. Amen. They had to have a mediator, angels and Moses for the law. But for grace, amen, for grace, amen, it just took God, hallelujah, through Jesus Christ, hallelujah. And so God just came down, and all of a sudden, just like a blowtorch, amen. You're a welder, Brother Cheney, amen, and some of the others are. And here it goes, this fire. And the Bible said God cut a covenant with him. Hallelujah. And then in the 17th chapter, amen, God said, Abraham, now it's your time to cut a covenant with me. Amen. And so he gave him the covenant of circumcision. You remember that? That was for him and his family. And again, he promised to bless him. And he said, make him a great people, a father of many nations. I'm trying to hurry through this. And so then we go on over to the 22nd chapter. And there in the 22nd chapter is where God tests Abraham. And he calls for him to come and give Isaac for a sacrifice. Now, I believe that Abraham knew in his mind, he's a prophet now, and he knows that Isaac represents Christ, amen. He represents a Messiah, and to kill his Messiah was something he could hardly do. And I'm not going to go through, I went through that before, but I like this, amen. Praise the Lord. How that when he started, he got that ram, you know, and the staff in his hand and all this. And then the Lord said in that 16th verse, by myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee. And multiply, and I'll multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is up on the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of thine enemies, his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. How can that be? Now I can understand thy seed make a great nation, Hebrews. He's a Hebrew. But how can he be a blessing to all the nations? But the Bible said, your seed will be the one that blesses all the nations. Amen. You will not just have that genealogy of the Hebrews, amen. It'll be among the Gentiles. It'll be among the blacks. It'll be among the whites. It'll be among the yellow. It'll be among the red, amen. Everywhere that there's seed, your seed is going to be the blessing that's going to bless them. I like that. Hallelujah. And so Abraham heard that. But you see, the Jews just took that, and they just read that, and they thought, well, that means us. That's us. That's us. That's us. Amen. And so they come along, and they keep on. That's always us. They couldn't see God ever reaching out any farther. Amen. They couldn't see that. But do you remember whenever that Philip came to Jesus, I think it was, and said to him, you know, that the Greeks desire to see you. Remember they came and told him that? He said, the time has come. Hallelujah. The time has come. It's time. Hallelujah. Oh, I love that. I'm not making myself plain, but I just, you know what the Bible said in Galatians 3:1, when Paul talked about it, said by the time, Paul said this, and I want to read it if I can, if I get to it in my mind, amen, but he said this, if I can get to it, I'm sorry, but I'm a little nervous here, but anyway, I know where it's at. I'll just go back to it, read it, and that way you won't have to worry with it. It's not 3:1, I'm trying to think what it was. Amen. All right, the first chapter. But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Flesh and blood could add nothing, he said, to what I had. Amen. Remember the Bible said, for what the law could not do, and that was weak through the flesh. The law could do nothing for him. It's only by the grace of God. Reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen. Immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Amen. When I look at that and realize, had it God begin to reveal this, all this time had been hidden. Nobody knew what it meant. They read it, but they didn't know, just like I told you about the others. But whenever God found Paul, amen, he said, that's the man, amen. And I'm going to reveal a mystery to him that's been hidden for 2,000 years. And it's based upon a promise that I made 4,000 years ago, amen. Hallelujah, you see what I'm saying? And that's what he did. Now, the reason why that I think God chose Paul was, number one, amen, he was an educated man. He had a good education. You may say, well, I don't believe that. Well, he chose Moses, and Moses was an educated man. He chose Moses to be the lawgiver. He chose Paul to be a theologian. Amen. They were both educated. I'm not against education. But I do like this. Amen. God was just like a communist. He took both of them on the backside of the desert and deprogrammized them from their secular learning that they might keep the spiritual part. Huh? Hallelujah. But Paul he had the education. He had Bible knowledge. He had sat at the feet of Gamaliel. He knew when God showed him something, he knew how to harmonize the prophetic revelations with the scripture as they were given to him. Amen. He knew how to do that. Praise the Lord. It just come natural to him. No wonder he wrote the most of this New Testament, you know, the epistles. Amen. And the second thing, Paul previously was a persecutor of Jewish Christians. And that could make it difficult for him to go out and preach that. I mean, how are you going to come in here? Now, you just take a man, come down here and cause your brother to backslide, cause your mother to die, cause your children to be scattered, amen, throw people in prison. Would you love to see him up here front preaching? Huh? It's going to be a little. No wonder Paul said, I didn't try to build on another man's foundation. He wasn't too well received, I don't imagine. Do you? Amen. No wonder he went just all over the world, but preaching, just opening up new churches. But listen to this. You remember, here's something I'm talking about this. Paul said when he's testifying, 22:17-21 in Acts, while I prayed in the temple, I was in a trance, and I saw him saying to me, make haste and get thee quickly out of Jerusalem, for they will not receive thy testimony concerning me. And I said, Lord, they know that I am in prison and beat in every synagogue down that believe on thee. And when the blood of thy martyr Stephen was shed, I was standing by and consenting unto his death, and kept the raiment of him that slew him. And he said unto me, depart, for I will send thee far hence unto the Gentiles. Huh? God was making ready for him. Amen. He'd put up with him because he knew their time would come. He wanted to have him in a position where he could rewrite those epistles that's such a blessing to us, and he wanted him to be the one that revealed this mystery unto the Gentiles. Thy seed, amen. Thy seed, hallelujah. Amen. Amen. You remember, I want to read that, if I could, there in the book of Galatians, if I could, right quickly. Amen. Read a little more there, if you don't mind. All right. It said, so then they which are be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham.
Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak not after the manner of men, though it be a man's covenant, yet if it is be confirmed, no man disannulleth or added thereto it. Amen. Hallelujah. When the Lord, amen, made that covenant with Abraham, that stood even when the law was added. They couldn't add the law to it. You can't do that. Not too long ago, I said, sold 3 acres to a man. Amen. Now, down here, if you sell 3 acres, you have quite a bit of money in your pocket. But I sold 3 acres, had a well, and had electricity, even had a building, 2 buildings on it. One of them was completed, and the house had started with the basement. I sold for $16,900. Okay. How'd you like to buy one down here for that? Amen. So anyway, I sold it to him. Well, this man had the money to pay for it. That's what made him look kind of good to me. He had the money. And he didn't want to pay for a deed. Nothing to me. I said, I'll just type us up one. So I just went in, got out some old deeds I had, looked them over, got me out of, went down to the bank, and they gave me, got online, they gave me some deeds for the state of Missouri, and I just typed him up one. And so I give it to him. He gave me the money. We're happy. I record it, and when he goes home, and we're happy. I'm down here preaching for Brother Mike Roberts, and I get a letter or a call from him. And he said, hey, we got a problem. I said, what's wrong? Well, the recorder's office says this is not a valid deed. You know what's wrong? I'd forgot. Back in 2000, we'd made out a revocable living trust to our children. You know what I'm saying? I hadn't put that on the deed. So when I put that other on there, put that down there, it won't go. It doesn't harmonize. See what I'm saying? When God gave us grace, hallelujah, and later he gave us law, he never added it to that because it wouldn't harmonize. You understand what I'm saying? Law was added because of transgression. I said before that we love rules and regulations, and that's what God gave us. And the reason why he gave us that law was because of the fact that those Jews are settling with a whole bunch of Gentiles all around them, and they are all backsliders. Now, that may not sound right to you, but don't the Bible said the Romans, in the Romans first chapter, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, don't we say that all these nations sprang from Adam? Amen. One time they had a knowledge of God. Amen. And they had a tendency to go with those people, and he gave them rules and regulations to govern them and hold them together and keep them from just assimilating with all those other people. Amen. He gave them rules and regulations until when? Until Christ could come. Hallelujah. And once Christ came, it's a wonderful world one more time. 2,500 years under grace, 1,500 years under law, and now 2,000 years more under grace. And I like grace better than do the law, don't you? Like I said last Sunday when I was preaching, under the law, David committed adultery. Under grace, Joseph didn't. Hallelujah. All right. Praise the Lord. All right. Glory be to God. I think grace is stronger than the law. And I know I'm going to read you something that I don't mean to, but when you read here in the first, oh, it's foolish Galatians, with which you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ has been evidently set forth crucified among you. This would I learn of you, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Then he said, receive you the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith. Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? That sanctifying power, that's what he's talking about. Are you so foolish, amen? The law couldn't do it, but the sanctifying power of Jesus Christ can. Amen? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, and now made perfect in the flesh? Have you suffered so many things in vain, as they be in vain? He, therefore, that ministereth to you in the Spirit, and worketh miracles among you, doth it by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith. Brethren, I believe in old time holiness. I believe in right. Amen. But I'll tell you something. Amen. Adding new rules and regulations, amen, to our faith won't do anything as far as miracles are concerned. Amen. You can do everything in the world, but you'll not make miracles. The only thing that will make miracles move is living by grace, amen, through faith, and living for God, biblically speaking, amen, and believing God for the works of his grace. Hallelujah. To my mind, that's only it works. I believe that's right. So I'm just talking about, amen, I don't know how I got off on this. I don't even know how I got off on it. But anyway, I'm just simply talking to you about Paul and how that he did this. And so here we are. When it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's, oh yes, I told you, I said, depart, I'll send you far hence unto the Gentiles. Isn't that what he told Ananias? God told Ananias when he sent him to pray for Paul, I'm going to use him for the Gentiles. I'm going to use him for the Gentiles. And can you imagine a man picking up the Bible and reading it, all of a sudden he sees it. Amen. I haven't gotten to it yet, but it said that seed which is Christ. I haven't read that to you. Let me read it to you. That the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Brethren, I speak after man and men. Though it be a man's covenant, yet it be it confirmed. No man does not add it thereto. Amen. We're talking about Abraham's covenant. You couldn't add the law to it, and you couldn't take anything from it. God made it. It's that covenant. And then the Bible said, now that Abraham and his seed were promises made, he saith not in the seeds as of many, but as one, and through thy seed, which is Christ. Hallelujah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. Which is Christ. Praise God. For as many of you have been baptized into Christ and put on Christ, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There's neither bond nor free. There's neither male nor female. But you're all one in Christ Jesus. And if you be Christ, then are you Abraham's seed. And heirs according to the promise. Hallelujah. Praise God. I look at this and I think what a wonderful thing it is to live in a land and at a time when our banner is Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Lord and Savior of all. I wish I could preach to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, there's something I've overlooked here. I know overlooked it, but I'll maybe come up with here just a minute. All right. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Let me just go on. Ephesians. Now that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men. Think about that. God took that same book that those Jews had been reading for 1,500 years. Hallelujah. And they never caught it. But Paul did. The mystery. The mystery. Amen. That, here's what I wanted. Which in other ways is not made known unto the Son of Man, as is now revealed unto the holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs of the same body, and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel. You see, the Jews didn't believe that. You remember where Jesus told that woman at the well, salvation is of the Jews? We know what we were, salvation of the Jews. Did you know what was going on at the very time that he was talking to her? The Gentiles had grown tired of those many gods they were worshiping. They were looking for something more simple. They still had a deistic spirit. They wanted to worship something. And the Jews were going around this country, what known world at that time, wherever they scattered, and they're preaching that one God religion to them. And those Gentiles started filling the synagogues with themselves. But the men didn't want to take circumcision. So the Jews went back to the days of what God told Noah. They dropped that and made them what you call proselytes of the gate. That meant they could come in, sit in the back, be in the service, but not a part of it. You see what I'm saying? Hallelujah. And when Paul started preaching to those Gentiles and telling them, that's what he said, they could be fellow heirs, have the same benefits, of the same body, partakers of his promise. When he come in and started preaching that, no wonder they said, we want to hear this again next Sabbath. Tell us again about that. No wonder he had such a slew of people saved. Amen. Because, see, the Jews had drawn a line this far and no farther. But Christ's blood, when that earthquake tore that veil down, amen, the line ceased to be. Salvation is of the Jews. Amen. I just marvel at God's divine divine mind, I guess. how that he just used those Jews. And I was reading one time where a rabbi, he couldn't figure it out. He was talking and he said, I don't understand why that when after Christ came, they quit their evangelistic work. They quit the missionary work. Jews dropped missionary work after that. Why did they do that? I don't know. I don't know. I just simply say it's in the mind of God. But when I think about that, how wonderful it is. Here this man Paul is, amen, in trouble with the Jews because he had betrayed them. He's in trouble with Christians because he had persecuted them. And yet God reached down and took that man and made him one of the greatest preachers of all time. Hallelujah. And he gave a message to the Gentiles. Amen. He revealed a mystery that had been hidden for 2,000 years. That is Christ in you, as he said to Colossians, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. That's the mystery that God had kept concealed. Why are you preaching that, Brother Charles? Because I'm trying to tell you that there is mysteries yet in the Word of God that's going to be revealed, and we're going to enjoy it. I may not be around it, but there's some young preacher sitting here that God's going to move on. He's going to open up those scriptures, and you're going to enjoy them. That's what I'm telling you. I'm telling you that because I think they moved God. I couldn't remember what he said. I hope I remember it now. But John Gabriel used to say, when the anointing Holy Ghost comes upon him, I'm a prophet in the sense of the New Testament. Your word, yeah. And he said, there'll be a revival among the holiness people. Didn't he say that? Didn't Savage, Brother Savage, say the same thing?
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah.
Now, this is going to blow your mind, but I'm going to tell you that a prophet said 60 years ago in October, the Pentecostals ain't got it quite right, but they will. They're a gallant people. I'm not giving the exact quote, but this is what it is. They're a gallant people. They're not afraid to stand toe-to-toe and call black black and white white. And when revival comes, it'll come to the Pentecostal people. You like that? You know who said it? Reverend William Marion Branham, 60 years ago. That blows your mind, don't it? As far as you're concerned, he's probably a false prophet. Prophets didn't have to have everything right to be right and be used of God. That's what I'm trying to tell you. But he said that. And you know, I just kind of think I'll take it. You may not like it, but I do. Hallelujah. Right. Amen. As in 1958, he said that. October 1958. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Brother Charles, why do you have such respect? Because in 1959, my wife had a disease that we couldn't see cured. We couldn't talk to doctors, amen. She'd walk the floor of the night and scratch the blood out of her body. She itched all over. She had welts, and she was so terribly bad. And one of the men in my church, Brother John Rose, his wife, had been healed of a tumor in Kansas City, Missouri, in one of Brother Branham's meetings, amen. And so he went and got some rope and got us a prayer cloth, amen. And she took that prayer cloth. She said, what am I going to do? I said, I'll keep trying this medicine. It would just all to do. When they put it on, she had to take all of her clothes off because it would blister her body. Amen. And she had just put all that mess on. So what I'll do? I said, I don't know. My faith was low. She said, if I'm going to trust God, I'll just trust God. Amen. And so she took that all that off, put that prayer cloth on. Amen. And it went away. Amen. She kept it a few months, and a few months it started coming back. She went and dug that old dirty prayer cloth back up, put it back on. It went away. It's never come back. Amen. I don't agree with everything he said. I don't agree with his doctrine. Amen. I really don't believe it. He believed that. How can you be a Calvinist and say that John Wesley was a messenger in the book of Revelation for the Philadelphian church? They don't relate to me. Why didn't he say George Whitefield was? He was a Calvinist. See what I'm saying? I don't agree with everything he taught. I don't agree with everything been taught by him. But what I'm simply saying, and I know there's things that I read in the book. I go to Extra Pentecostal Church, and it tells there where William Barron Branham prophesied that the Lord would come in 1978. He never prophesied that. He predicted that. He said, I predict. I don't say this is the Holy Ghost. I predict He thought he would come. That's his business. That's my business. Amen. But I'm just simply telling you, my friend, whether you like it or not, amen, 60 years ago, there was a man said, when revival comes, it'll come to the Pentecostal people. He may have changed his mind after that. He may have preached other things after that. But I'm looking at that, and I'm still believing that. I'm believing for revival among the Pentecostal people. And when it comes, it'll be because of the fact it's thus saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Yeah. Woo! Glory be to God.
Glory.
Yeah. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. The great word of the omnipotent God. Woo! Hallelujah. 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 Fellow heirs. Same body. Hallelujah. Got the same promises. Praise God. Hallelujah. A promise 4,000 years ago. But a mystery based upon that promise 2,000 years before the time of Christ. Hallelujah. And then when Christ came and Christ died, then Christ called that man on the road to Damascus. Circumstances kind of against me, Lord. Not for me, it isn't. I know where I want you. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Praise God. Not for me. Ooh. Would you just lift your hands and worship him? Amen. I'm not asking you to worship what I'm saying, but I want you to worship the Lord. I want you just in your heart say, Lord, I'm glad for your word. I'm glad for your blessed word. I'm glad for your blessed word. Ha ha ha. Glory be to God. God, I worship you this day. I worship thee, dear. I worship thee this day. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. I hope you don't fall out with me on who I consider prophets, but I've seen other prophets in my day that I felt like were real prophets. Amen. I've seen them go haywire and go the wrong direction. Amen. But you know what the Bible says? To his own master he stands or falls.
Right.
Hallelujah.
Right.
That's up to him and God. But I thank God for his word. And I thank God for the things he hides in his word. Amen.
Yes.
And for 2,000 years people just read and 4,000 people read. And that just to them it just means our little local. Just us. But whenever Paul gets a hold of it, he's out there in the desert. He's reading that. He's thinking about how you've been taught. And out there in that desert of Arabia, one night he looks up in the stars and he says, God, oh God, what I'm seeing now, is it true? If I can take what I see right now, I can go anywhere in the world and preach it and see people converted to you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Peter threw the door open, but Peter was pretty prejudiced. But when God got ready to use the man, he said, Peter, stay with the circumcised. You'll do better there. And his, well, even the book of Acts proves he did better with them. He didn't do so good 15 years later after he got Cornelius saved. But anyway, that's another story. But he just said, God, you know what I'd like to see some young preacher? I'd like to see a young preacher sometime just reading this book and come across something that he'd never seen before. And it would just make his faith expand and his eyes would be open to the greatness of God. And he'd say, God, you can do this. You can do this. You can do this. I feel a holy reverence for God. I feel his holy. I feel a quietness and a stillness, hallelujah, because he is to be reverenced.
Yes, he is.
Reverenced, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just bow your heads with me one time, Lord? We reverence thy presence. We adore thy person, Lord. It's you, God, that doeth these things. We're glad to be the sheep of your pastor. God, we're glad to be sheep.
We may not agree on everything, but there's one thing we do agree. God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself. And the still the soft voice says, go ye into all the world. May we accomplish that through Jesus Christ.